Podcasting 2.0 for August 23rd, 2024, episode 190. We're in the Chatel. Hello, everybody. Once again, it is a Friday. You know what that means. Friday fun day. Yeah, it's time for the board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. Everything going on in podcasting. There's no other show needed. Trust me. We'll talk about that later for sure. We are the boardroom, the only one that doesn't need a balloon drop at the end. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country and in Alabama, the man who gives you more feed ID love than anyone else. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. Dave Jones.
Feed ID love. I like that.
Wes, I misread it. It's by feed ID love is what I should have said.
Oh, okay.
Because you made a new endpoint, man. You create an endpoint and everyone's happy.
Well, it's not technically a new endpoint. It is an improvement to an existing endpoint.
You are so awesome, Dave Jones.
I'm not going to disagree with you. I'm not going to fight you on it.
No, I don't think people tell you enough. You know, it's like people have no idea the work. Well, some do, but I don't think people appreciate how much you do purely for the love of podcasting.
I'm here to be appreciated. Hug me.
Okay, baby, come here. Let me take you in your arms. It's all good. That's all good. I'm very excited today for a couple of reasons.
Okay. Give them to me.
Okay. Well, in a moment, we have a guest coming up. And it's exciting to have him. And I'm excited to have him on. Not so much to have him on, but to have him on at our regular board meeting time. Because usually it's like we have to do a show at 7 at night to accommodate him.
I like the derision in your voice.
I'm excited because he's the yin to my yang. Mm-hmm. But I'm also excited because you are listening to me right now on the Curry One Beta, or Beta, as our guests might say.
What? What does that mean?
The Curry Dvorak Microphone Company.
Is this a joke?
No. You are listening. This is our first mic. It's going to be the Curry One. You're really listening to the capsule more than anything. The body isn't. I mean, it's basically in a toilet paper roll.
I cannot tell. I'm still not sure if you're.
No. I am telling you the God's honest truth.
I need a picture of this thing.
You're going to get a picture. I don't want to publish it yet.
In the toilet paper roll. I just want to see it. Okay.
It's not suspended. Actually in a toilet paper roll, but it's in it's in a temporary housing. And, we've talked about this for. Well, we've talked about exit strategies. God, please give us anything to get out of this podcasting gig. I don't know if this will lift us up and out. But we've been ordering capsules and stuff for microphones for many years. You know, I've tried many different microphones. And it's really Dvorak who's been driving it, which is, I would say, extraordinary. Because he's the laziest guy I know when it comes to anything. And also because he has his daughter working for us now.
Oh, okay. So things actually get done.
Yeah, exactly. So she does the publishing company, and we've done the No Agenda ABC book, and she also did Too Many Eggs book. And she's been doing the spreadsheet for us for about a year now, I think. And
does that mean the vinegar book's going to get done one day?
Oh, please. No. This is okay. The microphone company is instead of the vinegar book. Trust me.
Oh, okay. All right.
And you know, so I'm very particular. I'm like, well, if we're going to do, you know, sell a branded mic. We're also going to do a valve microphone. You know, we'll have a line of three, I think. And we want to make it competitive to everything out there. It's cheaper, in fact, than anything out there. So it'll be the Curry One Podfather approved microphone. And we'll make it cheaper than anything else that's out there.
How in the world are you doing this? I mean, like the hardware is, you've been down the hardware road before and it is not.
It's hard. It's hard.
It's expensive and all that.
Doing exactly what Shure and Rode and all those guys do. Once you find the capsule, and these capsules, they all come from one place.
Across across the industry,
all of
there's
them.
Only a it's sort of like televisions and computer monitors. There's only one or two people that make the panels.
Correct.
Okay.
It's all from China. The actual capsule itself, uh-huh. They're all from China.
And so then, you know, then you have to find the right construction. So this is very similar. In fact, to me, it sounds a little bit better than the EV320.
Really?
Oh yeah. Oh. Yeah. It has something extra in there. I mean, and we're doing this now because in 5 years, my ears may be shot. You know, it's like, I can, in fact, he started the No Agenda yesterday and he's like, before we started, he said, what do you think of this, Mike? I said, it's a dog. Disconnect it right now. It's like, oh really? He said, yes. You know, we've been through so, cause I could EQ anything to make it sound right, but I know what it has to have out of the box. Uh-huh. And, so now, there's still some characteristics, you know, we're doing scopes and everything. And so now the body becomes very important. Now I want a mic that you spit down the tube, right? No side talkers. I want a front talker, which this is. You don't need a pop filter on it because it has all that
internal,
built in.
Internal,
very similar to the EV320. It's smaller than the EV320, which I like. So it's not that big, heavy monster.
But yeah, the EV320 is a large mic.
So yeah, it's a large mic. So I want something that's smaller. This is, this temporary housing is very small. It's too small. So it has to be, I want it to be about half of the EV320. Mm-hmm. But the price, we're going to go sub 200. Easy.
Wow.
Oh yeah.
Whoa. That's huge.
And, I was talking to Fernando from Sigma Audio.
Yeah.
I had a call with him earlier today. We're going to do a bundle.
Oh, with the Sigma and mm-hmm. with the Audio Sigma and yep. that. No, yep. That's a great idea.
Yeah. So we'll have a bundle. I mean, I don't know. I would like retail for mic, headphones, and and one of the Sigma boxes for $400, between $400 and $450.
If you could do that,
and
that would be killer.
I would love to throw in one of our 2.0 partners and do, like, you know, 3 months of hosting or whatever, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Like Cotton Gin said, the starter kit. It's the podcast starter
kit. Yeah, exactly.
Can you also give some podcast topic ideas?
And we'll
sermon starters.
We'll kick you in the back to get you started with talking. Yeah. Yeah. A swift kick in the pants. Yeah.
That's exciting, dude. I can't, if you had not told me that this was,
I know you wouldn't have known
this was a different mic. I wouldn't have known.
I know. Cause I put it on yesterday. I wasn't telling John that I was using it. And when I told him, he had the same reactions. Like, I don't hear any difference. Now you're hearing me through clean feed. Yeah. I could, there, it has a little, little higher output, which I think really makes it. It's just the whole, everything. I did not, it's the same EQ as the EV320. So I haven't changed anything.
Oh, so you, this was just plug and play.
Plug and play. Plug and play. Yep. Plug and play. So it'll take a little bit, but you know, cause now we're going into design phase of the housing. And of course, Dvorak's like, I want the top to be yellow. I said, over my dead body, the top is going to be yellow.
Why yellow?
I don't know, man. He's like, but I don't just want a black and black microphone. Well, okay, you can make it red then. You know.
Red's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, I thought red might. It's to be a differentiator and have red on this, or curry, and then curry one. Curry one.
Gold.
Oh, no, we're going to do a gold version. Of course, that's what you do.
That one's $800.
Of course. I mean, course. It's made of platinum. Yes, of course. Yes, yes. Of course. That's what you do. Or we give the gold plated ones to certain celebrity podcasters.
Oh, celebrity. Like me.
Yeah. Well, of course. Of course.
So the Audio-Technica ATH M20X headphones, which are good headphones.
Wait, is that what I have? Hold on.
I think you've got like the M50s or something. These are like the M20s, which are, I've had these before. I think what I've got right now is like the M30 or something.
I'm actually looking, I took them off, so I don't want to get any feedback. It doesn't even say on these headphones what it is.
Let me see what mine is. Hold on.
I can go to my order, I guess, and see what they are. Let me see. I love these headphones because I was always a Sony Pro guy.
Oh, mine, I lied. Mine are the Biodynamic DT770s.
Let me see. Oops, hold on a second. So Audio-Technica, let's see.
The Audio-Technica, I've had a pair of the ATH M20Xs, and they're really nice
headphones,
and they're only $50.
I have the M50X.
Okay, you've got the step. Yeah, you've got, there's, it's like the 20, the 30, and then the 50.
Yeah, these were $149 what I paid for them.
Yeah, one thing. Yes,
and it was a buddy of mine, my old radio buddy from Holland, he said, because we started with the, remember the Sonys that were really like half a melon on each ear?
Yeah, humongous cans.
Yeah, so that's what we used back in the day. And then the Sony Pros, those were perfect. And I used those for many, many years. And then the audio, because I need an over-the-air close. Otherwise, you know, I get that.
Yep. Yeah, the 20s are only $50. I mean, so you're already talking, you know, if you buy, I think that $400, $450 is, I think that's hit.
For a full package. And
for a rig, yeah.
Yeah, and as you know, that rig has the noise gate, or what he calls the denoiser. It has multiple EQ settings. It's really idiot proof. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's just little buttons you just press. Like, I love that guy.
What is, okay, so let me go into this just a little bit, and I've always wanted to know, number, I guess, the internal pop filter stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always work. Like, no. Sometimes I still get some pop.
Yeah, you will get some pop, sure.
Yeah, is that just because of a lower
proximity?
I guess it's just not fixable, right?
Proximity.
Yeah, you can't actually do. It's not that I don't have a good one. It's just that
No. Okay. We'll have a guide. You know, we recommend you fist your mic, which means one fist between your mouth and the microphone.
Yes.
Oh no, okay. It's going to be a complete Curry Dvorak product.
You called me with a mouthful of beef milkshake. It almost got ugly over here.
Yes. Yes. So I'm excited. You know, I guarantee you. It will not be for sale at any podcast conference.
Why?
Because I'm not going to go. I'm not going to have a booth. I'm going to go stand there with a booth. No.
I just think the image of you standing there at a booth with Todd like beside you is hilarious.
Hey, everybody, try out my microphone. I'm the Podfather. Wookie, wookie, woo! Yeah.
Bombshell. It would just be Todd bitching the whole time about, you know, nobody's showing up to my booth.
There's no carpet.
There's no carpet.
Hey, let's find out exactly how podcast movement Washington, D.C. was, as our guest today has been sitting through this very patiently. He rushed through TSA and was able to jump into the lounge and has set himself up. You know him as the radio futurologist, host, producer, and writer of the daily Pod News newsletter and podcast, co-host of the Pod News Weekly Review, and friend of the show. Say hello to James Cridland.
It's very good to be here. Thank you so much, Adam. I like the noise gate on this new microphone of yours. It's very nice.
Well, the noise gate is not on the mic, but okay.
Whatever it is, it sounds better. It sounds better.
Oh, it sounds better. You think it sounds better than what I had before?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. You can't hear it clicking in and out quite so much. So it's a good thing.
Oh, interesting. Hmm. Interesting. Yeah.
Anyway. Not that. And thank you for the mention of beef milkshake as well. I appreciate it.
it's because Adam mentioned something about it. I had to run and make one really quick for the show.
So James, you're set up in the American Airlines lounge. If anyone wants to come did I just dox you? I guess so.
Yeah, I guess you did. Although I think there are two here, and I don't know if I'm in the good one or the bad one.
So are you in one of those private rooms, or are you just sitting amongst other people? Are people looking at you weird?
No, I'm in this sort of working thing, and I think they call them working chattels.
Oh, chattel?
Yes, where you get to sit and...
Wow. How do I spell that? How do I spell like?
Yeah, I was looking it up too.
Because it sounds like chattel, but I guess chattel.
No, chattel.
C-H-A-T.
Oh, it looks like chattel. It looks
chattel. But if I put another L and an E at the end, it's C-H-A-T-T-E-L-L. Chatel. Well, that's the show title. There you go. Chatel.
Yeah. Well, I've
American no idea, Chatel.
But I said, do you have a quiet room? Because I need to make a 1 hour call. I didn't say a podcast because I'm not, you know, I need to make a 1 hour call and I don't want to annoy anybody else. And they pointed me into this room, and it's all, you know, fake wood paneling and there's a guy over there trying to do some work. So basically how it works.
We'll try not to make you laugh because he'll be looking at you like, what is wrong with that guy? Yeah. Quiet, man. I'm trying to trade. I'm day trading over here.
Yeah, that'll be it.
Mm. Now, this is a Middle English chattel. I think it's chattel.
Is it chattel?
Movable possession, often in plural, chattels.
I don't know. I walked past a sign, and I may not have read it correctly. Everything in this hotel confuses me.
Oh, it's a hotel?
Everything in this airport.
Oh.
Everything in this airport confuses me. So,
Hold on a second. How can it be worse than Melbourne or Sydney's airport? What is so confusing?
Oh, whoa, I haven't said it's worse than Sydney's airport.
Okay, all right, okay.
Have you ever been to Sydney's airport?
I have, actually, and to Melbourne's, and I've been to Perth with that stupid train, but that's, you know that story.
Yes, exactly. I would have used that stupid train, but it doesn't go to the stupid airport that I use at Perth at the terminal, so yeah. Anyway, it's quite enough of this. I was actually sitting next to Todd last night at the bar, and I was getting exactly that you were mentioning about, there's no carpet.
It's called grousing.
Yes. Well, yes. You know, I was talking to Fernando, and I don't know if he had you must have had some kind of booth, and he said he lost money on the deal. He did sell some units, but he said he sold 500% more than Rodecaster because they sold nothing.
Right.
What it feels to me, and I appreciate you coming on. I know you're not flying until later, but it's kind of you to jump in on the show today.
Thank you for asking.
Well, the shopping, to duty free shopping. There's all kinds of wonderful. You can get your shoes shined. All kinds of stuff you could be doing instead of being with us.
Massage.
I can get massage. Yeah. You can sit in those massage chairs. Get your t-shirts. It felt a bit like, now, first of all, I agree with Todd. A conference hall without carpet means, man, you really were slashing the budget. And, but that doesn't really matter. The timing of it is so odd. It's during the week, which is difficult for, well, it's difficult for me. It can be difficult for most people. And also school is back, which would preclude a lot of the, I would say, just people who want to be hanging out with other podcasters who podcast, not necessarily, maybe, I don't know if you want to call, I hate the word indie, but just people who just want to be part of what we're doing.
Yeah.
And that maybe they were more brown shoes walking around selling stuff to each other. What was your impression?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's much harder to get independent podcasters, to get podcasters who do this as a side hustle because they've got a real job. It's very difficult to get them to fly all the way to National Harbour and to come to a conference that's held Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah, absolutely it is. Or rather, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, which it was. I think that that's always going to be an issue. There is a PodFest in January, which is a good event for getting in front of those types of creators. It happens over the weekend. It's in Orlando, so right. You can take the family. Yeah. You can go, you know, and do whatever it is that you go and do in Orlando. So I think this is a different one in that there was a lot of the podcast industrial complex there.
Yeah, there it is. Thank you.
There you go. There was a lot of that going on there, particularly on the first day. There was a lot of that. So it was an interesting side to see, you know, some of the big money in there. SiriusXM's stand was three times the size of anybody else's. Massive, great
big
thing.
Was it invite only?
It was not invite only. There were a few invite only places. There was Spotify's, which looked very, very, very nice. I managed to get in there.
What's on the other side of that velvet rope?
Well, there's
coffee, snacks.
There are jugglers in there. There are jugglers. You know those people with those large pine palm leaves cooling you down. There was some chocolate. You said it, Adam, not me. There was some chocolate fountains. There was none of that. But it was just a nice room. They had sort of done it up a little bit.
What are they talking about? I mean, what is the mission of a Spotify at a conference where it's invite only? Are they looking for advertisers? Are they looking
It's all for advertisers, and their for clients, for the Megaphone side of Spotify, for the Spotify audience network, for all of that kind of stuff. So, and you know, one of the things that I said to my Spotify contact was, this is absolutely right. You do need a special space where you can talk to your expensive clients, but you should also be on the floor. You should also be talking to the creators as well. So I think that that's a little bit of a missed opportunity. So, so there was Spotify, and I also got summoned to the Libsyn special area.
Oh, they had a special area. That's where they go and they ream people out for bad news coverage.
They have gallows or something, or like stockade where you sit in there and they whip you from behind.
I did feel it was miles away, absolutely miles away, the other side of the hotel.
Really?
They had hired a suite so that they could have the conversations with their ad partners. Hmm. And I did feel, as I was walking, three miles and, 80 different corridors to get there, I was thinking they could actually
kill you.
They
could and actually no one would kill, know.
If I scream, no one will hear them. Will hear me scream.
You're going to get black bag. Yes.
I will say I got a lovely email from Rob Walsh, and we're talking on Monday. He's happy to tell me. Did you see him by any chance? He wasn't there, was he?
Good. He wasn't there. No.
Is he going to be on the show?
He just wants to talk, so I'll chat with him and I'll ask him if he wants to be on the show. Of course.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that he heard it and that he said, hey, let's talk. So that's great.
That would be good.
So besides the showcases and the secret rooms and the booths and everything, did you speak at this event?
Yeah, I did. I did three different panels. So I was on one panel. I moderated two panels, and I also spoke on. I also showed lots of live demos of AI tools and stuff like that, which was quite fun.
What AI tools?
Oh, I mean, there's plenty of these tools. Some of the tools that get rid of the background noise. Occasionally, if you're listening carefully, you will hear an elevator that says "going down," it'll get rid of all of that. Tools to do. The company Osha launched a new. They call it Osha Intelligence because, of course, they did. Mm-hmm. But it was a new way of you being able to pre-fill, titles and descriptions and everything else from the transcript that you have.
Sure.
So all of those sorts of tools, and it's quite fun to demonstrate some of those live.
How'd that go? Stuff doesn't
sometimes
work.
Sometimes the Wi-Fi falls over and sometimes it doesn't. There was only one thing that didn't work, so everything else worked.
God, I hate doing those. We're like, well, look over here. The Wi-Fi, it's always the Wi-Fi slow here, so give me a second.
So some of it was, I had a transcript tool on my laptop, so I was able to show that working really well. We went and used Udio, I think it is, one of these song making things. And I said, make a song about podcast movement. And it made quite a decent song, to be honest. Yeah. And so there was all of that kind of stuff, but it was good. It was good fun to do. I think, if 90% of it works, then that's absolutely fine.
What were the tracks in the sessions? Was it a lot of how to make money or how to do it, or what was the main focus?
Yeah, there's a bunch of tracks. There are still a fair amount of creators who turn up. There are still lots of people that just want to know how to do stuff, and knowing how to there's the technical side, but there's also knowing how to do a good interview and knowing how to plan a show out correctly and all of that kind of stuff that we have been involved in the radio industry for a long, long time kind of innately know, but actually it's not something, if you're brand new to it, that you know. So there was a ton of that going on. There was a ton of sort of more advanced stuff around, here's how to monetize. Here's how programmatic advertising works. Here's what you should be doing if you want to grow your
show.
All that kind of stuff. Yeah,
just
exactly.
Add water. All that kind just of stuff. Just add water. Grow your show. Mm-hmm. How about the 2.0 stuff? I mean, obviously you were showing transcripts. Any other 2.0 talk there or?
Yeah, I mean, 2.0 was difficult. I bumped into quite a few people that actually came to talk to me about that because they knew that I was there, and they knew that I could, help them with all of that, which was good. Not too much on the schedule itself. I think it's very difficult. It's something that I learned when I was doing working on a different piece of tech that was all voluntary and all just people doing it for the love of that particular industry. It's very difficult to get conference organizers interested in that because,
yeah, no shit.
At the end of the day, where's the money? Where's the
pay to play? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, and to be fair, there isn't too much pay to play at the conference anyway. But it's just hard for them to understand how big it is without having a big PR company going and talking to them and everything else.
So, that's all we need. We only need a big PR company to go talk to them. That'll do it.
Well, I mean that would be a start. I mean, so one of the panels, for example, that I was running, that I was moderating, I was asked to be moderating that particular panel by the PR company of one of the panelists. So it was very clearly, they wanted, they obviously wanted the best moderator in the business.
They got it. Yes.
But unfortunately, they could only find me. What's very clear is that some of these are very corporate, very let's make sure that, that everything is said correctly and blah, blah, blah. And then, there were some really good people there talking about, proper how to use microphones, how to start a video podcast, lots of talk about video. YouTube and Google were there, but they didn't speak. Spotify were there. I don't think that they had any particular speakers there, but a lot also
really
around,
that's surprising because the main players, as far as I understand it, in video are Spotify and YouTube, and they didn't do much about it.
Yeah, there was. It was left to other people to end up talking about that sort of thing.
Interesting.
So there was a speaker from Spotify who interviewed Stephen Bartlett, Diary of a CEO, who's a big name in the UK, and his session was great. His session was really good. He was basically sharing all of the information about how he puts his show together. It's a really big, really big interview show.
Yeah,
that comes out of the UK. Here's a thing, Adam, that maybe you should be doing. He has in his studio, he has a carbon dioxide monitor, and he stops the podcast recording if the carbon dioxide monitor goes above 1,000, because he says that if it goes above 1,000, then the interview just gets worse and you don't get the best.
You're also killing the world. I mean, come on, stop already. You can't be that's a funny idea.
It's great, isn't it?
Yeah. That's actually quite frightening.
That's very strange.
It's like
ventilation.
He was really good.
In future, gear will actually turn off. It'll be carbon dioxide built in. And if you talk too much, it'll just shut down and say, you got to continue later because, climate change.
He was really good. And the one thing, if it's of interest, you don't have to go to Washington, D.C. You don't have to stay in the hotel, which was a ridiculous, ridiculous hotel.
Now, where was everything in regard? So let me ask it this way. Did you have a chance to see our wonderful capital and many of the monuments and buildings and wonderful structures that are there?
On the Monday, I did, because I was invited to NPR to go and watch a Tiny Desk concert.
Oh, that must, I like
you
that
got
show.
Invited to NPR. I thought they shut. I didn't think they had podcasting there anymore. I thought that was all closed.
No, they have one show.
Which cracks me up because somehow they're still number one in like all these charts or in the top five, and they have basically fired everyone. It's just like
I don't know whether they've fired everyone, but they've certainly slimmed their team down a little bit. Yeah.
Oh, James, yeah. They nuked that whole department. I mean, it's very much a shell of what it used to be. It's like somebody rolled the rock downhill, and it's still just rolling, even though there's.
I did have a look around. You know, we were queuing up for this concert, and I wanted to walk around a little bit, but they've got this beautiful, beautiful building that was opened about 7 or 8 years ago. And all of the desks completely empty, and
everybody's working from home. Yeah.
Yeah. All of the desks had a laminated sign on the keyboard saying clean.
but I just detected something. If you're coming to my tiny desk concert, you've got a VIP backstage pass, brother. You're not queuing up for anything. What's wrong with these NPR people?
There was still a queue. But that was good. That was a good start.
Did Apple have any presence at the podcast movement?
So, I mean, as you know, Apple never speaks at any conference. That's not Apple's thing. I saw two people from Apple there. I understand that Apple were grabbing podcast hosting companies and having quiet meetings with them.
Do we have any idea what was being discussed?
They always do that. And so I think they do share a few things of what's coming down the road, but probably what they were really doing is explaining how the new Apple Podcasts web player, or indeed the Android app, as I call it.
Okay, so let me just say this about that. I have some thoughts about Apple Podcasts on the web. The first one is they are trying to destroy our 2.0 community by driving a wedge between Adam and James with this Android bet. So I think that's the only reason they did it. I have other theories, but you, for some reason, have called me a Welch on the bet.
Have I?
Well, I've listened to the Pod News Weekly Review, and you're like, "Well, Adam's not going to pay up." So I think
fair enough. I was saying they'll launch an Android app, and you said they'll never launch an Android app. And what they've essentially done was that.
Yeah,
yeah. What they've essentially done is they've launched a PWA, so you can install it as an app.
Yes,
but it's not a PWA. It doesn't have a manifest.
Right.
And by the way, it does have a manifest. There's one line in that manifest that isn't there.
I have
tipped the wink to the guy from Apple who was there, and he said it will get in there, but we're a big organization. We've got to do some Q&A and everything else. It's just one line in a manifest, so it'll take a couple of weeks.
James, what do you think the strategy... I actually do have some thoughts about this. What do you think the strategy is behind... the timing is obvious because it's just around a podcast conference, so that makes sense. Yeah. What is the strategy behind them releasing this severely crippled, almost PWA?
I think there are two parts of the strategy. And by the way, I do think it's good news for podcasting 2.0, and I can explain why in a minute. But I think there are two parts of the strategy. One part is they have a lot of legacy nonsense out there. iTunes for Windows is the only way of actually getting into Apple Podcasts on your Windows machine. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So this gets rid of that. This is also a backdoor. This is a really clever backdoor. In the same week as Apple has said that they will take 30% of all creator payments through Patreon.
Yeah.
When it's done on the app. In the same week, Apple have also launched a web app, which means that they don't have to pay Google 30% of their premium podcast subscriptions whenever anybody signs up. I think that's another part of the strategy. It's an easy way into the Android ecosystem without them having to go through Google Play and get approval through Google Play and have to pay 30% of the Google tax.
I think you're right. I think this is their trial balloon to see exactly how many people they can convert That it, on one hand, it makes sense. On the other hand, it's kind of cutting their nose off despite their face. So I'm a little wary of it because it feels to me like, well, you know, in some kind of antitrust case, we can say you can also just do it on the web like we've done. We've proven it here. You know, I have very mixed feelings about it. I despise them for not communicating, just saying this is why we're doing it, or at least lie about it. Give me something, you know, other than here it is and it's great, because it's not great. It doesn't have all the features in it. Then they should say it features coming. And on the hopeful side, I'll say, gee, wouldn't it be great if they tested out other things on the website that they could then eventually move through their molasses infrastructure and approval and QA process to bring into their app.
Yeah. Well, I so on that, the things that the web app doesn't do, there are only a few things that the web app doesn't do. One of them is transcripts for some reason, and I don't understand why. One of them is downloads, and downloads in a web app, I'm not sure, and Dave will know more than me on this, I'm not sure necessarily that you can download third-party files into your local storage on a web app, cores and all of that kind of stuff. So I don't know if you can do that. So they don't have downloads.
You can, but it's messy. It's very unpredictable what you're going to get, because you're going to get... You can do it through, you can do it through local storage, but then there's a thing called I think it's called Session DB. There's various ways to do it, and the new, I think it's the Session DB thing that's the newest one that can handle larger downloads, but I think it's very unreliable about which browsers support it and which ones actually let you. Do it. I mean, I don't think anybody could rely on that right now.
Yeah, but and then there's one more thing that Apple Podcasts IndexedDB on the web doesn't do. IndexedDB. Yeah. That's right. And then there's one more thing that Apple Podcasts on the web doesn't do that I think may be a bit of a Trojan horse, Adam, and that is chapters.
Yeah, exactly.
Because right now. Chapters, of course, the only chapters that Apple Podcasts supports are ID3 tags.
Right.
And Podcasting 2.0 has JSON chapters or super chapters or whatever it is that we want to call them. And that is essentially that information, but so that your browser can actually see that. So you can actually make a much better browser experience. And so I wonder whether Apple is now looking at the lack of chapters because I think that they do want to make it feature, you know, to add feature parity to as much as they possibly can on the web. That would kind of make sense. And so what does that mean for chapters? Are they going to, as they did with transcripts, look around at the podcasting 2.0 stuff and go, you know what, there's a standard here that we can use. And we can build that in.
Well, very much like what they did with the transcript. In that case, it would, because I know how Apple thinks. I believe I know how they think. If we can't do it for all, we don't want to do it at all. So maybe they would do something like, well, if we see the MP3, which has ID3 the ID3 chapters in it, then we'll recreate those for cloud chapters on the web app, and if you have your own, we'll pass those through. That
agreed.
I could see that
would be
happening.
The best way, wouldn't it?
I would love that. That would be great.
Because you can put more detail into what did you call them? Cloud chapters.
I call them cloud chapters.
So you can put more detail into that. But if Apple, because Apple pulls your MP3 file anyway, so if Apple pulls your MP3 file and just has a look through for the ID3 chapter. And makes one. Yeah, that would be good.
Open invitation to anyone from Apple if you ever want to come and talk. Maybe just have the ghost of Steve Jobs on the show, Dave. We could do that.
Yeah.
We can have the ghost of Steve Jobs because, oh man, that's just annoying. I mean, there's such a huge community. We feel, you know, this obviously so funny. You know, we've always had these groups and we're always talking about stuff and we always want to do things and someone, I think it was Todd, someone subscribed me to this WhatsApp group, the podcast discourse hub. Oh yeah. And so there's 55 people in there, and I've been subscribed to this. How long have I been? Since Saturday. And all it is, hey, look who's here. Hey, you're here. Yeah, I'm here. Hey, everybody's here. Wow. Great. Look at this guy. Look what I just brought in. Hey, should we do a list of everybody here? It's like there is zero conversation. It's like nothing. And I'm restraining myself because I don't want to, you know, like trounce all over it. But there's nothing. The amount of discourse and conversation we have on podcast index.social, I cherish it so much.
Yeah.
Because we can all just say stuff and throw out wacky ideas out there and work together. And it never happens anywhere else, to my knowledge. I'm not in all the Slack groups and all that, but I just rarely see it. You know, I rarely see any actual work.
I think to be honest, that's one of the things that podcast movement does very well, in that there were a lot of, you know, I spent some time with the Buzzsprout guys. Libsyn was there in force.
That's always good.
But Blueberry were there. There was a bunch of other folks, OSHA, and a bunch of other folks. The RSS guys were there, Ben and Alberto. And so it's a great time for everyone talk about stuff.
And
the people who were there from Apple, they were in the bars. They were chatting to people,
Were they paying for drinks? Were they paying for drinks or just consuming?
I think people were paying them for drinks, to be honest.
Oh, brother. Oh, brother.
Biggest company in the world, by the way.
There you go.
Yeah. I know. Exactly. But no, so I think that's a really useful thing.
It's always good.
We shouldn't underestimate
that. No, it's always good to get together. And I don't want to only talk about the conference, but I it's great that you were there and we get to piggyback off of your attendance. I'm concerned personally about what Spotify for podcasters is doing with their hosting, free hosting offering. Now, as I've learned from Pod News Daily and the Weekly Review, they are actively advertising, which is totally their right to do. They can do whatever, bastards. But I'm a little concerned about that. You know, do you see that, first of all, do you think there's uptake, that they are taking away people from the beautifully distributed hands-on infrastructure that we have, which I would always recommend to someone over a big company, particularly for hosting? And do you think it's the uptake is hurting the existing hosting industry?
I mean, certainly when you look at, so there's a page on the Pod News website which shows people migrating from one podcast host to another. And the winner every single time is a Spotify company. Now, that might be Spotify for podcasters. The podcast host used to be called Anchor. Or it might be Megaphone. But it's one of those two companies who always takes the majority of the, you know, of people who are moving away from other podcast hosts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a concern, I think. Now, of course, the reason why people are doing that may be that they've lost interest in their show and therefore it's free and it's a free place to put it.
I think
that is a concern. And I think what's more of a concern is if Spotify doesn't care about the little people, then, you know, what does that say about Spotify overall? If the only thing that Spotify does in these events is to have their own private space where if you're a normal podcaster, you can't go and talk to them. You have to have an invitation. You have to be, you know, you have to be part of the club, or you have to be big enough.
Right.
And I think that's a misstep. And,
well,
and
I agree. It's a mistake. Yeah. I mean, none of my shows are on Spotify. I refuse to sign a contract to be, you know, to be on Spotify. I'm just not going to, I don't care what it is. Either, you know, you take my feed and you take everybody's feed freely. And as an aside, it has not hurt me at all.
So here's a thing, and not something that very many people have realized. The Buzzsprout official podcast, Buzzcast, is not
on Spotify.
No. Yeah, and they've made that very, very clear why they're not on Spotify. And I, you know, it's interesting seeing many other podcast hosts who've put their official, you know, official show on the Spotify platform. And yeah. they're thinking,
look at what happened in, was it South America? Was it Mexico?
Yeah.
Where all of a sudden, oh, well, we're not going to pay anybody anymore. And the same in Italy, by the way, because Italy just blew up last summer. All of a sudden, everyone's talking about podcasts. And that was because Spotify did this huge push. They started paying people and they're pulling back. That's a tip for your news. And they're doing the exact same thing, and it destroys everything because people just think, oh, podcasting's on Spotify, and they don't realize that you can get it somewhere else because of the marketing push. And they're just like the, you know, 400-pound gorilla trouncing around, and you know, then they walk out and they leave everybody high and dry.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I spent some time with the OP3 stats earlier on in the year, just looking at how big Spotify was in various countries. And, you know, I mean, Colombia, Spotify has 92% of all downloads.
Exactly, exactly.
I mean, it is absolutely massive. And so for Spotify to spend a lot of money in getting new shows made and then all of a sudden pull the rug from all of those people is really difficult. Well, and I think we don't appreciate actually how big Spotify is outside of the US.
Oh, I do.
And the UK. And yeah.
But I also feel it's a good cleansing because I know from the music business that people who really want a certain type of content, they will beg, borrow, steal, do whatever they need to do to get it. They will sit by the radio with the pause button and the cassette deck for hours to wait until that song comes on. You know, this is old school, of course.
And then you talk over it as the DJ.
I was very hated by that. And so it will cleanse out the industry, and people who are saying, oh man, I really like that show, they will go and find it elsewhere. They will find it. I mean, so that in that regard, it's good. I'm also honestly distraught, but I knew it was going to happen about the Afropods. You know, and here's my, and maybe you have more insight into this, but there was, 4,000 podcasts being supported, essentially, I think, by well-intentioned people who had corporate budgets to spend on stuff to make their corporation look inclusive. And that money went away because money goes away, and they just dropped it.
Yeah, this is Africa Podfest.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, the Podfest, yes.
Yeah. So this isn't Afropods, which is a network. This is their. It was a podcast festival which lasted for 4 years, and worked with over 4,000 podcasters, advocated for African podcasting on the world stage. If there's one problem that you know, and I would tell you more, but Substack is currently performing a scheduled maintenance.
cool. There you go.
Thanks.
Scheduled, Substack. No less. Scheduled in the middle of the day.
I would doubt it is. But anyway, and so I think that, you know, that was a really useful organization because it pulled together all of the African shows. And to be honest, Africa has a real problem in that many of the countries in Africa, data is so expensive.
Yeah,
which is where the alternate enclosure comes in, because the alternate enclosure really, really helps. And PodLP's support of that means that, you know, it's just opening up podcasting for new people to have a listen. Yeah,
I was worried about PodLP for a while because I just didn't hear any action from there. And then he popped up and said he had been in the middle of converting everything to rely on more on the index, I guess.
Yippee.
To get his expenses down and that kind of thing. And so that was good to see that he's still alive and and kicking.
Really good. And he's now available on more phones as well. More of these smaller phones. So I think he's doing a good job there.
I can tell you, I just don't understand in general Spotify for podcasters. I don't know. I understand why they may just leave it as a legacy product that exists for a long time with no maintenance. I could understand that. But to go in and start pushing it again, that product just makes no sense to me. And it didn't when it was Anchor. It really doesn't now. It's got to be costing them a fortune. And 99% of the podcasts on Spotify for podcasters are truly just stuff that it will never get a single listen by anybody anywhere. It's just a money hole, and I don't understand how they're cutting back. Sort of, they've really cut back a lot of the profligate spending within their podcast push, but they're keeping this thing alive, and it is just it's just confusing to me.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair. I would say Anchor itself, I did do some work, when was this? 2020, I did some work on how much Anchor is costing Spotify in terms of bandwidth, which I thought was vaguely interesting. So that's it's doing 7.7 terabytes of data every month. Which adds, so I worked it out in terms of Spotify's whole bandwidth bill, because obviously Spotify has a lot of music on there as well, and it adds an extra 1% onto Spotify's bandwidth bill.
You know, I was
it's really not that much.
I have my stepdaughter here. She's 27. We flew her she's had a knee operation. She's been here for 10 weeks, and she'll be leaving again soon. We love her, but we want our life back. And we flew in her roommate from New York, who was kind of our fourth daughter, Mackenzie, and she's the same age. And they were talking because they've all moved to Apple Music. And the reason why, can you guess the reason why, James?
No, go for it.
They were A-B-ing between Apple Music and Spotify and felt that the quality of the sound on Spotify was inferior to Apple Music.
Oh, well.
And that's where you save on. That's what, by the way, that's what Sirius XM does. I know that business quite well.
Yeah.
They have a lot of higher bandwidth channels and a lot of stuff they put on very, very, very narrow bandwidth.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to squash it onto the satellite.
To be able to fit it in. So it seems to me like, although I'm with you, James, no one cares. I thought no one cared about it because, you know, when MP3s came around, I was even skeptical, like, this is really degradation of quality. But once people had it in their ears and they got used to it, it was okay. But when you and you know, Apple should probably, this is a marketing tip for Apple, because they clearly are doing something at a higher bit rate or whatever it is. And I haven't investigated it, but these are just two girls who are music enthusiasts. And they're like, oh, no, this sucks. Clearly Apple Music. And they don't know why. They're like, it sounds better. Okay.
Yeah, so I played around with Apple Music for a while, and you can turn it up to
11.
You can turn it up to Apple's. they've got this thing which they call lossless audio.
Yeah, lossless, yeah.
Yeah, and that sounds amazing. And if you do that, you turn off the volume equalization thing, and you turn off the spatial audio, which is madness. But you turn all of that stuff off. It does sound fantastic. It does sound really, really good. Mm. But yeah. So you've got the interesting thing of, we've just been talking about Africa and the cost of bandwidth, where actually you need to make stuff as small as possible, and then there are people on their high end speakers who just want really, really good sound.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you're going to put both the output of Spotify or of Apple Music through some Bluetooth headphones, then you're already squeezing it down a pretty small pipe as well, of course.
Just want to run through a few things 2.0 related. The first is I was a little saddened. I started promoting, because I always promote the modern podcast apps on No Agenda. It's a reasonably big audience. I look at the OP3 stats. You can see the very high amount of people using Podverse and Fountain. But really, I mean, I think Apple is like 30% and all the rest is just all other apps. And I started promoting the funding tag, which, you know, there's all kinds of reasons why. I mean, No Agenda, obviously, we do take Boostergrams, we do take streaming sats. But we give all that away. All of it is split to people who help the show. It's basically a value for value loop. It just goes right back to other people. Our main source of value for value is PayPal and Stripe and checks. Actually, about 40%. And of course, we're an American podcast. 40% of our value for value people send us paper checks. people send us cash, people send us gold and silver, nut jobs, but we'll take it. Doesn't matter. We'll count. Hey, we count dollary dues from Australia and dollarettes from Canada, one for one. So even though you haven't actually given us money to become a knight, we'll let you become a knight. But beside that, I was surprised how few of the apps actually have the funding tag surfaced. And especially with Patreon and the ability to say, hey, just use your Modern Podcast app. I mean, it removes a step similar to a Boostagram where you don't have to go to a browser, go to, in our case, noagendadonations.com. You can just hit that button. And I would really implore everybody to consider surfacing the funding tag, maybe even say donate. You know, donate to this podcast or whatever, because it's very see, this is why I like you, James. Don't worry, I've got one teed up for you. It's coming. Don't worry, it's coming.
Oh, here we go.
I know pod, but I'm my daily driver, Podcast Guru, doesn't have it. I'm like, what? This is an atrocity. It's really a shame.
So way, way, way back in 2018, Marco Arment, who makes Overcast, of course, he supported the idea of this payment link. And what he was doing, and I thought that this was just really neat and really clever, he was just looking through any the descriptions.
Just grabbing something.
He was just looking for a link to Patreon or a link to a few other places or a rel equals payment, I think. Mm-hmm. Right. So it was a bit clunky, but it meant that there were a ton of these things. And he added this big green payment button, which clearly linked to donation pages. Everybody jumped into supporting it. So Omni Studio supported it. Fireside, which was a podcast host back then, I think still is, supported that. Anchor said that they would support it. And then Marco pulled it out. And do you know why he pulled it out? Because he was worried that Apple would charge 30%.
Yeah, I don't think Apple will do that.
Because of the thing that many people don't understand, which is just because, well, number one, you're not allowed, I think, by App Store rules to put a link to an external payment system, or at least at the time you weren't. I think you can now. See, that's one thing that has changed. Yeah. I think the App Store rules have been relaxed. So now you are able to provide a link to an external payment system,
you're not technically linking to another payment system. I just want you to go to my donation page.
Right. And so there's the ambiguity that happens where, you know, you think it's one thing, but then Apple shows up and says, hey, that's this other thing. And then you have to just argue it out and hope that they side with you.
Well, I would like people to try it, you know,
I would too.
Put that back in because
it's, I mean, he was just concerned that this would be a reason for Apple to block a new release of Overcast because, you know, the new intern, who's got the job of checking whether or not Overcast is following all of the rules suddenly sees a green payment link and thinks, no, this clearly breaks the rules. And so, you know, he saw it as a risk. And so, unfortunately, got rid of that. And I think, you know, for Overcast particularly to have supported it, because it's such a large independent app, that was a real shame. But, you know, I mean, obviously, that's going to be one of those things. But if we could, I agree. I think
that
funding tag is super good.
Wouldn't it be great if Apple supported it on their web player?
Well, yes, but then I suppose that would be the question around payment links. And is this payment, where's the Apple Pay logo and where's our 30%?
Here's part of that, because, and that's part of the issue, is that there's no sense that I can find. There's no sense in which there's a differentiation between buying something and a donation. Like there's no difference there as in terms of App Store rules and guidance and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because one is I'm paying to have access to this content. And the other is, I just want to give you some money. which that's, you know, nobody's ever going. So for instance, if you had a donation to some charitable organization, I don't think Apple is going to force itself into that payment.
No, I don't
stream
think so.
And say,
I don't think so.
We're going to take 30%.
They're not that crazy. By the way, stop the presses. True Fan supports the funding tag. Just want you to know, Sam Sethi's listening. He donated $77.77. You heard the harp playing. Just so you know, True Fan supports it.
By the way, so does the Pod News website as well.
Yes.
We support the funding tag too.
Yes, you do.
Castomatic supports it.
Yeah.
And Castomatic supports it, and it's been in the App Store for as long as I can
remember. Well, I do what I always do, Payne. So I will only be promoting apps that support the funding tag.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm just full of pain. Congratulations. We got episode.fm soon, very soon, any minute now, will be available for all podcasts in the index. You will not need to have an Apple GUID. Is that correct, Dave? Am I understanding this correctly?
Yes, that's right. Apple and iTunes ID.
You're not
going to need that. So what Nathan's going to be doing is putting... And this is actually going to help us a bunch. He's going to be making it where episodes.fm can link you in the URL using a Base64 encoded feed URL. So you can just encode that thing, pass it along, and then it just comes up. And that immediately helps the ActivityPub bridge, because then I can take out all that messiness in the postings that come from the bridge. Where you have like all, you know, all those badges or whatever you want to call them.
Why would you not use the GUID?
I think there was a reason. I think he explained it once before and I don't remember exactly why.
We thought about it previously and we can't remember. It was so complicated. So it was just good to go. 64 base encoded is the way. It's the way. I love it though. I think episode.fm is one of the best improvements we have put into the podcast ecosystem in a long, long time. So not all my podcasts are on Apple iTunes. But it's so beautiful. I mean, just as a link, you know, to say, hey, listen to
this. There's Sam again.
No, I don't think so. Listen to this episode and, no, it's Once Told Kyle. Listen to this episode and select your player, and then, hey, if you want, have it always select your favorite player. It's something that's been long, long, long overdue and needed. And I'd also like to know how episode.fm is going to stay alive. I mean, is it going to be value for value based? How is he going to make money? How is he going to?
I don't know. By the way, it's episodes FM with an S on the end. But I don't know whether episodes FM is it costs an awful lot to host and to run. So maybe it doesn't need to stay alive too
much. Well, I want to support it, so you know. But I agree. Need a donation.
There should be a donation link in there in fiat or
split.
What was it? Stats or cash. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm happy to put a split in anything. It's a beautiful, beautiful system. Now, since we're kind of talking about ActivityPub, et cetera, James, I know you're not just a podcaster, but I believe you're still an advisor. Noster in Fountain released. What do you know about it?
That's exciting, isn't it? I know as much as you.
So, I've not used Noster in a long time. I have a pub key. I was able to find it and put it into to Fountain, and so it worked. And I'm still kind of trying to figure out what it is. Before I give my thoughts, have you played around with it, James or Dave? Have you played around with it yet?
Yeah, I have. I was able to. I guess the thing that hit me at the beginning was that. I mean, I understand what he's doing, and it's not confusing or anything at all to me. I guess it's it presents you with a. It gets in your way a little bit, which was what I kind of was confused about, because it says connect existing Nostr profile or create one. I guess I kind of wished that I had just already had one. And then it just started to work.
Right.
It's a little bit of a nitpicky thing, but I kind of wish that it said, hey, you've already, that I basically already had one created by Fountain itself. And that since they're so easy to generate, it's just a key pair. Mm-hmm. And then the thing, maybe there was a thing at the top that said, you know, hey, if you want to switch to your, if you want to use your own Nostr profile.
Yeah.
Like I kind of, rather than sort of like forcing me into like a path where I had to choose something. I don't know. That's just my first thought, but I have lots of thoughts about the downstream activity of it though.
James?
I have not tried it because I've been busy doing other things. Okay. But I mean, you know, is this a replacement to Streaming Sats? Is this an addition?
That was my confusion as well. The way I understand it, and so what is, okay, a couple things. So the way I understand it is if someone boosts you in the Fountain app and you have a profile, then that boost will also show up on your Nostr timeline, which I think is kind of cool. When I look at Fountain itself, you really have, if you're not a Nostr user, I don't think you get any of the benefit, because what I'm able, when I'm, you know, now I go to my Nostr profile, see people commenting on an episode. The zaps, I think, are basically just paid likes, which they already had. So you don't, you can't, as far as I know, you can't zap an episode from Nostr and have that go through your splits, which is kind of what I thought would happen, but I don't see any evidence of that.
So it's really adding a social.
It's adding a social network.
Yes. If you happen to be on Nostr and you happen to have a bunch of friends on Nostr, all talking about Bitcoin and beef milkshakes, then you can connect with all of those on the Fountain app, and that makes sense, I think.
Yes, and so that brings me to my point. Because of the nature of the community on Nostr, now in my home feed on Fountain, it's very Bitcoin centric.
Yeah.
And so that is a little irksome. I understand it because, you know, and also there's a lot of reboosting. And so I see things multiple times, like None of Your Business keeps posting about the Fountain app now with Nostr. You know, it's not as diverse coming from me. That's funny. No. It's not as diverse. And you know, I can just hit podcasts and only see the latest episodes or music. I mean, so that's totally, you can filter it out, but I'd like it to just be more, you know, my friends, it's okay. It's nice. I'm scrolling through. Oh, there's a Bible verse. Cause I know the person, I follow the person on Nostr who posts that. I'm like, oh, that's nice. But then it's like Bitcoin, 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 Bitcoin. And it just seems like, you know, this type of integration will, I'd like to be able to change that. So I don't mind the protocol integration, but I'd like to be able to change it. And maybe this is, and that's immediately what people like Marty Bent and other people have been DMing me and saying, hey, you know, we can bridge this with ActivityPub. So they're already thinking that way, which I think is good. And I think that, and I believe Dave, you were already thinking along those lines, that once Oscar got this all up and running, we would bridge it. And then you can bridge ActivityPub through. Is that in the future?
Fountain. So, Chad F has a good simple statement about that in the boardroom. He says it moves the social aspect of Fountain onto Nostr, and I think that's probably what Oscar was really wanting to do.
Yeah.
Was offload a lot of that stuff he was doing proprietarily in Fountain and move it onto Nostr to sort of get it off his system. And let's be honest, Fountain has a huge Bitcoin base. Mm-hmm. And so Nostr
Are you sure?
Yeah. They have a huge Bitcoin fan base. So that made sense for them. You know, I find it interesting that Sam also released True Fans Activity Pub.
That was next on the list. Yes.
Yeah. This week, which is exciting to me because I've, you know, I'm already deep in the AP ecosystem. And what I see is, and it works, by the way, you can follow, they have not flipped the switch on sort of outputting, the activity, the actions into your stream yet. But you can at least follow yourself, your True Fans user, as a Activity Pub now, timeline.
What would make sense to me is if I can and I'm okay with doing this per app. I don't really mind it. If I can go to True Fans and say, okay, connect my existing Activity Pub profile to my account on True Fans. I don't necessarily want another Mastodon, an Activity Pub account. Is that something that he already has, or is that coming? Is that even on his roadmap? He'll boost, I'm sure, and let us know. But
yeah, but I think, well, they already know you. There's already a place in True Fans to put your current Activity Pub user account in there.
Okay.
See, I'm of the opposite opinion. Like when I go to another Activity Pub, like I don't want to carry my ID around with me everywhere because it feels distinct to me. Like what I'm doing in podcastindex.social, David, podcastindex.social user account, I want to keep that thing isolated and clean to what it's supposed to be. Then I go over here to this other, to True Fans, or to Fountain, and I want different IDs over there. I'll make them look the same, but I don't want that. I want to be able to pick and choose what cross-pollinates across the Fediverse or the Nosterverse or whatever you want to call it. So, I mean, I can, like, what I would rather have is my user presence over here in True Fans being output as Activity Pub. And then I can choose to, like, when we figure out how to bridge these things, I can choose what flows through the bridge over to Fountain's Noster relay and then back and forth. So I'm still of the opinion that I have been for a long time that whether it's Noster or Activity Pub, the future is bridging protocols because it's just obvious that there's not going to be one social protocol that's going to like win, so to speak. There's going to be, well, because you got Blue Sky in there too. Yeah. And Blue Sky's got a pretty big user base. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's, and that's also open. So we can bridge these. I think we're just going to have to become comfortable with the fact that we're bridging these things together. And if Fountain has a huge, if it's got a lot of activity going on over there on their Noster relay, I'm fine with pulling that stuff back into Activity Pub so that everybody else can see it. I think that seems the wise thing to do to me.
Well, what it certainly taught me, just using this for the past day or two, is that I do enjoy a nice harp. I do enjoy the, I'm going to have to take out that 777. I do enjoy the flow into a social network. It makes a lot of sense to me. Mm-hmm. I like that. I would like to see that stuff show up on my, psyopshop.com, account. Cause that's where I just do other stuff where I don't want it on my podcastindex.social. And so there's definitely something here that is, I think, compelling and people will gravitate towards.
Yeah, I think Eric PP is right. The important thing is that the activity is now out there.
Yeah.
Just like the important thing with podcasting 2.0 is that there's now hundreds of thousands of podcast feeds that use the tags. Mm-hmm. That is, if you don't have that first, then you're dead. Nothing, it doesn't matter how much you want it.
Right.
Nobody's going to write apps that include features for content that doesn't exist.
Right.
So the more interesting question is, and this is a philosophical question, a technological question between Noster and Activity Pub. When we went down this road before, and I think James, you know enough about Activity Pub to have an opinion on this. What we went down before was when you talk about ActivityPub, when it comes to things like cross-app comments or just pushing activity out from in a podcast-specific context, do you create a new quote-unquote language of ActivityPub action?
Streams, activity stream, a sandwich.
Verbs, yeah. Yeah, or like verbs or and objects.
Oh, yeah, I'm just waiting for you to say verbs. As soon as Sam starts talking about verbs.
I'm baiting Sam to send another boost. Yeah. Because what I was told when I started thinking about architecting sort of this ActivityPub language around podcast specific actions was, hey, don't do that. You know, I was quickly told by the ActivityPub wizard beards, don't create new things. Just send everything out as a note with a media object attached.
I think that's probably, I mean, I, you know, you were saying earlier that you like your identities to be a little bit separate. And I think that, you know, I mean, certainly I have a personal email. I have a work email. I really don't like people sending me press releases to my personal email. I get quite grumpy about that. Similarly, on Fediverse, I think you can see that, you know, I've got my normal Fediverse account, and then I've got a Fediverse account, which is, or I could sign up for a Fediverse account on PixelFed. And PixelFed is very much around photographs. And if you want to follow my photographs, then you could go and do that. Similarly, I think having the choice of being able to filter out the stuff around my podcast listening, you know, is important as well. And maybe, frankly, verbs are part of that. You know, if instead of just everything being as notes, for me to be able to have something where, you know, I'm posting a photograph now, that is a different verb. I am pressing play on the feed now, that is a different verb. Then that should allow clients to be able to filter that kind of stuff out, so that I follow Dave Jones on the Fediverse, but I don't get his posts about such and such or his photographs, because that's not why I am following him. You see what I mean?
Right. Yeah, for sure. And that I'm fighting that. I fight that battle all the time on Mastodon with people that I follow that I want their technical. I want their technical posts because they have a lot of good technical information to post. But then they also sprinkle in tons of politics, and I'm trying to like keyword filter that stuff out because I don't want that on my timeline.
Yeah.
And that's
reposts. Reposts are the worst.
See that yes. And I don't, it, and it even goes, it's, but it goes before, you know, farther than that into the technical, sort of the technical rabbit hole of like what you said with verbs. You know, you can, the ActivityPub language, and this is a catch-22 that every technology and open source protocol gets into. It is the, you know, the ActivityPub language was meant to be extensible, the protocol itself. But you rapidly hit a situation where there's one dominant platform, which is Mastodon, and nobody wants to extend beyond that, because if I put in a new verb, then it's not going to, quote, show up in Mastodon. Because all Mastodon understands is notes. Or Apple Podcast. Right. You can't, well, I'm not going to do chapters because it doesn't show up in Apple Podcasts, or I'm not going to do. And so but I think Noster is young enough to where it's not suffering from this, because it's still, people are creating 10 new NIPs every 5 minutes for all these new features that they want, because nothing has been set in stone yet. There is no Mastodon equivalent in the Noster world. So it's still being able to evolve. And I really think the right way for this is to push through that barrier. And this may be wrong. I'm not ready to die on this hill, but I feel like doing AP correctly means taking it at its word, just like we did with RSS and putting a namespace in to extend its functionality and just doing it. Yeah. If Mastodon can't see the posts, well then, I mean, who cares? Whatever. Yeah.
I would agree with that. And I think, you know, Mastodon shouldn't be seeing James, press pause on this podcast. James, press pause right. on this podcast.
Yeah. Well, James, don't worry, because on True Fans, that's all been taken care of.
it's always taken care of. Everything is taken care of.
I know.
It's on True Fans. TrueFans.fm.
The template is there. All right, gentlemen, I'm going to break this party up for just a second. I'm going to play a little bit of music to give us a pause here. We will be back. This is from the Valueverse. So if you're using a modern podcast app, please boost and tell them you heard it on Podcasting 2.0. It's Chris Wensky with Banjo, and you belong.
You don't have to be the one to do everything they say. Use the light from the sun to carry out your
Wensky, you belong. Get a strong Hollies vibe there from the harmony. It's like, you belong. Anyway.
That gave me just enough time during the song to try to desperately figure out what this thing is that John Spurlock has built, this activity browser.
The browser?
It's great.
It's super like helpful. I'm browsing. I can debug it. I can debug stuff.
I mean, he dropped it right before the show. Like, I mean,
browser.pub.
What a horrible thing to do.
Yes, browser.pub. By the way, if you want to boost Chris Wensky, you can always rewind, go back. You can even pause it. Just pause it right in the middle of that song and then boost them. I've found that's very helpful. People seem to like think that they can't boost anymore if it's gone. That's the beauty of a podcast. You can go back and do it later.
It lives on forever.
I love the banjo.
This, yeah, it's a good banjo.
Can never get too much banjo.
So this looks like you can just drop anything in to the browser, to the ActivityPub browser, and it will just show you all the guts.
Yeah, it's another ActivityPub
like a really
client.
Helpful thing. Just to debug stuff.
For debugging, yes, exactly. I debug so much, it's great. I'm happy.
If you've gone down the ActivityPub rabbit hole of wondering, beating your head against the wall, wondering why something is not working, this is a lifesaver.
You'll
it
be happy,
really is.
Happy with the debugging, yes.
Yes.
So I didn't get any wallet demo from Oscar, but that's kind of understandable, I guess.
He's clearly been busy with the Nostr stuff.
Yeah.
So I think that's, I mean, we're getting there. I mean, hopefully we're going to talk to, the LightSpark.
Yeah. Guys. You know, that's in the middle of my vacation. You might have to do that one yourself, Dave. I don't know if you mind.
Okay. I mean, that's fine. Yeah.
I'm sorry. You sound very perturbed. Well, that's fine. It's fine.
Just I do.
Do whatever you need to do.
Fine. I'll do it.
I'm fine. That's good.
No, that's good. I don't mind doing that at all. Or we can just, you know, wait till you get back or whatever.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter to me. I'll see what they want to do. I'm good either way. But it sounds like they have a solution there that could, that could be an addition to, the Albi diminishment.
Yeah. Well, they have a, they clearly have an API, which is great.
Mm-hmm. Still waiting on Zebedee to contact me.
What is wrong with those people? We're here with clients, with customers.
I just need somebody to contact me. I don't remember the name of the, I could just pretend if I remembered her first name,
it
I
was
could just
nice Zebedee like,
make
lady.
Up email address.
Yeah. The Zebedee lady. Yeah, exactly. And, are we good now on the V for V license? Did we go through enough iterations, which came right after Alex Gates caught a whole bunch of really good stuff?
Yeah, I think so. I think we are. Sam mentioned that the short code name we had in place for the V for V license was different than what he was using, but so I'll just make it match what his says. It doesn't matter.
All right, good.
That's fine. But I think that's, hopefully that's done. And then we can move on to better things because the licensing stuff is just making me angry. Just a bunch of reading legal stuff. Oh,
in all caps.
It's just the worst.
It's my favorite. Yeah.
It's just the worst.
James, you're flying back home now?
Yes, I'm flying back home now, and then I've got a whole quarter full of speaking engagements. So I'll be all over the place.
Oh well, do tell. Where are you going? This is your James's promo tour. Where are you going to be?
Oh, is this Sam and James's week? Where sure. am I going? Yeah, Adam and James's week. I'm going to. Well, so some of the ones that I'm looking forward to: Podcast Day, which is Podcast Day Asia, which is happening in Kuala Lumpur in 2 weeks, which should be really good. Which is a whole day of that, and the weirdest one that I'm looking forward to is a Pacific island called Niue. And this isn't 100% confirmed.
Is that one of those?
Niue.
Is that one of those that we blew up in World War II? Did we blow that one up?
I don't know.
Is it still nuclear?
Either you did or we did.
Yeah, right.
So there's a big media conference there. I say it's a big media conference. The island is tiny. It has 1,700 people who live there.
Wow.
And I've said, look, I'll come, but I've got a day job to do. So I need internet access, but if the internet access is good, then I'll go. Turns out that the internet access is better than a home because of course it is. Except they say there is one flight in and out a week.
Oh, don't a miss week. It. Don't miss Whoa. It.
A week. Wow. Yeah, I'm going to be stuck on an island in the middle of the Pacific for a week. So that's going to be fun. I'm kind of looking forward to it.
I have no need for one, but that Starlink Mini, man, that thing is pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah, that looks goodness. Pretty cool.
I mean, I even heard, although there were some, I'll say it, glitches, but Todd and Rob were on his regular Starlink.
It did pretty well.
I was surprised that at the low latency. I mean, I've always been quite worried about the latency. You know, these things aren't actually in space. I've seen them fly over my house. It's the weirdest thing. You see this line of lights just flying, and they don't look like they're very high up. I'm sure that's just perception, but...
I mean, could that be an add-on to the Curry One starter pack?
Yes, and you get... Yes, James.
For Islanders?
When I send you the promo package with your gold-plated microphone, yes, and your Pod Mobile and your three-month free subscription to hosting, along with a Starlink Mini. There you go. That's it.
Yes,
one low price.
Islander add-on pack.
Yes.
Yeah.
Buy now while stocks last. Yes, exactly.
That's what we need. You do need to send me a press release. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll send you a press release. Here's your press release. Take a gold microphone. Are you still using that that LiDAR microphone?
Yes, I'm using when I'm at home, not here.
The Neumann?
No.
It's a thing. I forget the brand name, but it's got a laser inside it. And when you're close to it, it changes the sound to when you're further away. So it's kind of autofocus for audio.
No. It's the what's the name of it? The Lewitt. It's a Lewitt, isn't it?
Lewitt. That's it.
Yeah, absolutely Lewitt, correct. Yeah. Absolutely correct.
So you like that one?
I used to use a Neumann a long, long time ago. One of the reasons why I like it is that it's a side address mic, not a end address mic.
Oh man, you'll hate my mic. I got a tube spitter. You like the side address mic, right, huh?
Only because I do quite a lot of video talking to people, and side address mics mean that your face can be seen, whereas end address mics is just a little bit. It's a little bit harder.
You'll like You like the Curry Valve mic. What we're going to come up with? You'll like
It's a Valve mic.
Oh yeah.
Oh, brilliant. That'll work in carry-on luggage, won't it?
What's a Valve mic?
It's got a valve inside it.
Oh, James, explain what a Valve mic is.
Oh well, I am so not up with mic technology. But is the valve made of glass? Is that how it works?
Usually gold.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's made of gold. So yeah, yeah, or there's gold in the valve, I believe. It's a premium product.
It's a premium product. Yes. As is the entire Curry One lineup. Yes.
Yes. I mean, I'd love to do a ribbon microphone. I'd love to do all kinds of stuff. I mean, yeah.
Carbon microphone.
Carbon mic. Yeah. Well, it'll have a little carbon dioxide monitor on it, and it'll just shut off. You've talked too much.
Correct.
when the level goes high enough, they're all carbon mics. Yes.
So before we thank some people, James, as a radio futurologist.
Here we go.
Well, yeah, I like the term. I have some thoughts, but I'd like to know your thinking on specifically where is radio in all of this? Where is radio in general in the world of on-demand media, podcasting? I mean, obviously it's still a huge business. I mean, just like cable's not going away tomorrow either. But where do you think they stand, and what is the industry? Are they lost? Do they have ideas? Are they moving in a certain direction? What is your what's your take?
So I think the difficulty for radio broadcasters is that most of radio is built out of other people's content. It's built out of music, and
Is that really most radio is music these
most,
days?
Most radio is music. Is music these days, and so therefore that is hard for them. What I see in different markets, in different podcasting markets, is you can really see how advanced a podcasting market is by how much, and this is going to sound very negative, but it really isn't meant to be, how much reheated radio is at the top of the the charts in each country.
I like the term reheated
and so
radio.
If there's loads of reheated radio shows, then the podcast market isn't really very, very big. It's not making its own stuff. And the fewer reheated radio shows, the better. I think that radio companies have a problem trying to understand how to monetize podcasting, because it's very different to monetizing radio. And so I think that there's a lot of people that don't fully understand that side. And frankly, if you're a program director of a radio station, you are incentivized on the, what I would have called the Arbitron figures. It hasn't been Arbitron for many years, but the radio ratings figures. And that's what you're incentivized on. And so seeing lots of podcast downloads or seeing lots of online streams, well, that's cute, but I'm incentivized on the amount of people tuning in on AM and FM. And I just don't think that that's where the future of radio very much is a multi-platform future. It's people consuming that content in all different ways. And that might be online. It might still be through AM/FM or other ways of broadcasting radio. But it's a majority. It's loads of different ways, and I think that's the big difference that some of the industry still hasn't fully understood.
So, try this on for size. My feeling in podcasting right now is we are saturated with, you know, people going big, growing the show, doing, you know, being appealing to a wide audience all over the world, as many as possible. What I see radio has left us is this wide, certainly in the United States, is this gaping hole of local content. I mean, it's just not there anymore. And it's not profitable. I think Facebook has taken a lot of local advertising away. Yelp, you know, all these types of places where people search and want to find something in a certain geographical location. To me, it feels like there's such a, and this is really more value for value, possibly, as a business model, but maybe not. I mean, if you can grow an audience that is, you know, for Austin, let's say, and it's just Austin. I remember when we had the snowpocalypse, there was only one radio station, one morning show, and it was kind of the hokey, you know, morning zoo type dudes who were still on the air. NPR was playing repeats of Fresh Air. You know, no one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous. Yeah. I did something recently about Trump's assassination and how US radio dealt with it. And the answer is mostly they didn't. Because it was 20 past six in the evening on a Saturday, and virtually everybody was in automation. And that is not a thing. But I completely agree in terms of local stuff. There's a friend of mine that runs a radio station in a small town called Shaftesbury in Dorset in the UK, and it's a radio station called Alfred, and there's a website for it, thisisalfred.com, because presumably alfred.com wasn't available. And what he does, and I think that this is really interesting, is he makes a half-hour podcast every day. It's made with volunteers, so there is a bunch of different volunteers sending him audio, which he then puts together as a half-hour show every single day. It's full of local news. That's all it is.
Interesting.
It's just local news. And then, and so he started doing this prior to the pandemic, and then he won a community radio license. And what the community radio license is, he's there on FM, and it is that half-hour podcast, basically repeated quite a lot of times.
Low power? Is that low power FM?
Yeah, I mean, it covers the town of 10,000 people. Yeah, and not much further. And so that is his. It's a community radio license in the UK, and that is his thing. And it has been tremendously successful in terms of audience. Like loads of people, you know, he'll go into the pub and he'll sit quietly and have a beer, and there will be other people in the pub talking about what they heard on Alfred this morning.
Nice.
It's the most amazing thing. And, you know, and everybody else doing it for free. He pays himself a very small, no, in fact, I don't think he pays himself a salary either, but he's managed to get a few
free drinks,
grants from businesses and that sort of stuff. Well, yeah, exactly. And I do think that is, I'm surprised that there aren't more of those in terms of podcasting.
You know, if I was a big brand, if I was like Gillette, I'll just pull something. I would be creating the Gillette Podcast Network. And I would fund all of these little podcasts all across the country, the world, whatever you want, and pay them, you know, just pay them some money, you know, enough to keep it going. You know, no one has to be a millionaire. And I would make it the Gillette Podcast Network.
Like the Gillette Cavalcade of Sports.
That's right.
Because, you know, most of these, I think the radio forgets that. A typical American radio listener listens to, I think it's 13 hours of radio a week. Oh, that is all.
Yeah.
So filling 24 hours a day with new and interesting programming is just a waste of time.
It is.
You should be making some amazing programming and then broadcasting it as much as you can, as many times as you can. And that is completely the other way of how a radio company works.
Yeah.
So I really didn't Sam like try the idea that though? That's working.
Didn't Sam try that in the local market? I mean, did it fail financially, or did he just, or was it COVID that hurt his business?
Well, I mean, that, you know, it's a conversation for Sam, but my understanding is that there was a lot more programming on that station. There was a lot more, you know, different stuff on there, and that's very different to, you know, what Alfred, or there's another radio station in a little place called Petersfield called Shine, and that does much the same thing. Lots of volunteers making audio, sending it in, and that being compiled. I think that's a really good model. Yeah,
cool. I see the difference there now.
Let's thank some people who are boosting in throughout the show. James, of course, is in the split, so we send a percentage off to him.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Short row of ducks, 222 from Salty Crayon. Dave, he says, was it Des Dickerson from Zebedee?
Negative.
Not Des. All right. Okay. Nope. No, not Des. All right. Well, we'll keep trying. Martin Lindiskogue, 2112. He boosted for Chris Wensky. He says, banjo music. Rush boost from Martin Lindiskogue. Very nice. Once told Kyle, also boosted for Chris Wensky. Always love a good banjo. Chris and Sir TJ the Wrathful should jam together. Well, I'm sure they will. I'm going to be on the Dorful verse beginning of September. I'm looking forward to that. Sam sent a surprise, a whole bunch of boosts. 500. Dave understands we need to extend the AP verbs like we did with podcast namespace. Just because Apple didn't support chapters, we didn't stop adding super chapters or cloud chapters or chapters. Equally, because Mastodon doesn't support the verb, doesn't mean we shouldn't extend the AP namespace. I guess we'll have to do it first with true fans, if you know what I mean.
Hey, take the arrows.
That's right. 1000 Sats from Oystein Berga. Great song. Heard it on Podcasting 2.0. That is obviously boosting for Chris Wensky. Oystein Berga, by the way, also has a couple of songs in the value verse, which are well worth listening to. D's Last, 123, ITM from the Podcasting 2.0 community, saying hi there to the artists. 1000 Sats from Sam. James gets verbs to use as filters. Okay. And then he also sends a link another 1000 Sats promoting the Activity Pub browser from Spurlock, browser.pub. 777 from Sam. We will allow you to follow your true fan social or publish to another AP account. You just need to change it in the settings. Our did. We are trying to reach the 99% of people who don't have an AP account. Gotcha. Well, you need the influencers. And wow, my dog is going crazy.
I don't even hear it.
Is your dog going? Is it your dog or my dog?
No, it's not my dog. It's James's dog.
Does your dog bite? Sorry. Throwback to the Pink Panther. No one laughed. 333 from Salty Crayon. He says it should be called Fart Circle 3000. What was that? What were we talking about? Okay. Whatever it is, no, I like the name. It's a great name. Okay. 222 from Salty. If you don't have Nosser to begin with, the app is useless. Only basic feature that is left is Boost, a show you already follow. Can't edit your own profile. It's no longer Fountain. It's a Nosser client. Nosser is showing links to Spotify links, which are not V for V music. There's work to be done. That's clear. Once told Kyle 7777, howdy to Adam and Dave from the Valley of the Dinos in Glenrose, Texas. Hello, Glenrose. Looking forward to when I have to move my studio into a 133 degree greenhouse during the Texas summer to save the planet. Wondering,
get out of there. Your interviews are going to be bad.
I wondering how much AI washing was at Podcast Movement this year. Keep riding the Podcasting 2.0 lightning. Well, that's a question for James. How much AI did everyone talk about at the, I know
James,
you,
report.
Yes, report, James.
There was an awful lot of AI talked about, but I think actually the AI, I think AI is cooling off now. I think people are realizing that it's not necessarily a good thing. And certainly AI back in March, Podcast Movement Evolutions, so much more talking about AI. And I think now we're kind of understanding that it's not necessarily the be all and end all. One of the things that a lot of people were talking about was using AI to translate, using cloned voices of yourself, but translating into different languages, which works for certain things and doesn't work for other things. It would be awful for this show, but for a kind of for a news show, it would work quite nicely, I think.
Well, I like Maybe. Humans. I can hear humans.
Oh, I agree.
I agree. I like the imperfections. I like the stuttering. I like everything. You know, it's humanity. So I don't think it'll ever really catch on. We've had rendered voices for many, many years, and they get a little bit better. Although Richard Greaser has songs in the value verse, they're actually kind of banging hits, but then I still hear that kind of auto-tune type voice, and it always bugs me. Always bugs me.
Yeah, yeah.
On that note, James, I don't know what you write. You write PHP. What IDE do you use?
Visual Studio.
You need to try out PHP Storm. The most recent version of PHP Storm will blow your mind. I don't know what it's doing, because it doesn't seem like it's doing large language model, because I see no signs anywhere on my machine of a large language model being used. I mean, there's no heavy processing. There was no long install time. I don't know what voodoo or magic this thing is using, but it is blowing my mind. I mean, I will type things and it will just auto-complete stuff. And I'm like, how did you know? I just don't understand how it's so smart. You know, seriously, give it a try.
It's interesting you bring that up. I listened to Dave Weiner's podcast. You know, for nostalgic reasons, I've always enjoyed listening to his morning coffee notes. And he said something very similar. He said that he's been developing for 30 years, that his development has gone exceeded with all of these. Well, he uses ChatGPT. It's like he's in love with ChatGPT. He should get a room with ChatGPT. But he said the same thing. It's like the answers that it comes up with, you can describe a problem and you say, okay, I need jQuery for this. I don't know about jQuery. And it'll just spit out code that, you know, that is so good that he hardly has to do anything with it. I mean, I think that may ultimately be the killer app.
Well, the good thing about what JetBrains has done is that I don't have to do anything. I do nothing different than what I've already done, and it just somehow analyzes the stuff, my existing code, and it begins to write like what I do. So you know, I will start to make a function that looks, it's sort of, you know, there's a lot of boilerplate stuff where you're just writing the same things over and over with various permutations that are small, and it's just kind of tedious. And I'll write something, and then I'll go to write a couple of more methods in a class, and it will just automatically fill in a bunch of this boilerplate, and it's impressive. It is flat out impressive.
Does this run local on your local machine, or is it from the cloud?
No, it's a local IDE, and this dedicated to PHP,
and that's really it. You know, that's where the investment is all wrong, because I truly believe in local LLMs or whatever AI is doing. I mean, I have on my Start 9, I've got some models that are open source models, and I use it for certain things. You know, looking up scripture is really good, because it's sucked in all the versions of the Bible. But you know, that kind of stuff, it's good, but it's local. You know, I don't need to pay $20 a month.
Yeah, and JetBrains AI Pro is $100 a year, plus you're also spending another $100 a year on the IDE.
Well, that's probably worth it.
The thing is, I didn't pay for it. When I installed PHP Storm, it asked me, do you want to use the AI module? And I said, no. So this is something else.
Okay. Well,
and I already pay for JetBrains annually, because I just love it so much. And so I'm already paying for it. And then the new version just dropped in some sort of, like, you know, magic potion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give it a shot.
Let's see. Then we have the 7777 from Sam. True fans support the funding tag. People just don't know how to find true fans, because we are only a progressive web app. They look for apps in the Flash 2 app store. Maybe Apple's new PWA-ish app will help people find more PWAs. I'm mad.
I added that. D's laugh for the and I understand, Sam. And as Steve Jobs told me himself, it was never the idea. He wanted the iPod Touch with Wi-Fi. He never wanted a. In fact, I remember when I had my meeting. He was yelling and mad, like they effed up Wi-Fi and blah, blah, blah. So you had the right idea. D's last with 1,000 sats. ITM, happy casual Friday. Go ahead and break out that Hawaiian shirt if you'd like. Chad F, 3333, tune in live to hear the latest news about podcasting 2.0 from Noster, colon, NPub 13. Blah, 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 blah. Lots of NPubs there.
Good luck with that.
Boobery. 17,776, big freedom boost there, and has a link which I'm sure will show up in some apps or maybe a Noster. Check out one of the new visual boost alerts for the upcoming Satellite Skirmish album Rust. There's three more of these bad boys. I hopefully it'll be on a Sunday so I can promote it on No Agenda. Rove Ducks from Martin Lindeskog, 2222. Adam, please give the backstory regarding James Cridland's bet. Apple Podcasts on Android phones. Well, we did that, I think. And I believe I've hit the delimiter. Oh, wait, a new one came in. We had a new Dirty Jersey Whore.
No.
7777. Peachy Hoddle with Zebedee was at the Vinyl Lounge. Was that who Dave talked with? Peachy yes. Hoddle? Is it Peachy yes, Hoddle? I think hey, so. We did it.
But what's Peachy Hoddle's email address? Is it Peachy Hoddle at Zebedee.com? Yes. Okay, well, that's where the email's going.
Just a guess. Peachy Hoddle. Shout out to Peachy Hoddle. Community, come together. Let's find her. Let's make a love connection with Dave, Ashley Jones, and Peachy Hoddle.
Peachy Hoddle at Zebedee's getting my email.
That's
my
right.
bounce, but all it's right. getting it.
What you got on your list? I'm sorry, James.
Can I just ask, two of those said ITM. What does ITM mean for the old people
I'm
in this
sorry.
Room?
It means in the morning. That is a no agenda nice. Moniker, which has been going along. Yes. And and if you really want to know where that comes from, hold on a second. That is from here's the origins clip. Oh, that's a little too long. Think this
that's
is
good.
It.
Well, if I here if we I go. Know what it
here,
means.
Here we go.
Okay. Look at me. I'm driving. I'm driving a real car. I don't believe it. Well, I'd say we need to put on some tunes.
Hey, welcome back to Weenie in the Butt on 97.1.
97.1.
Ooh, Weenie in the Butt, just like the grown-ups listen to.
And that was Baby by Justin Bieber featuring Ludacris, which means it's time to give away some Justin Bieber tickets. Oh, that's right, Butt. Our fifth caller will wean those tickets.
Okay, so in the longer version, they keep saying, in the morning, in the morning, in the morning. So that was the origin of in the morning. Yes, Weenie in the Butt in the morning.
Or if you're here, it's a... ITBR in the boardroom.
In ITBR, that's right. Nice. ITBR in the boardroom, that's right.
We do have some, let's see, we've got some PayPals here. Let me grab the PayPals. Buzzsprout, $1,000.
Whoa!
Baller! Twenty-inch blades on the Impala!
Thank you, boys at Buzzsprout. Not only do you sponsor the Pod News Weekly Review, but...
Power!
That's right. Podcasting 2.0 powered today by Buzzsprout. Thank you, boys. That's really appreciated. Mm. That's the big deal.
I thought I was conniving in the background since an hour before the show started. Since Tom is in town, Tom Rossi is in town. He's in Birmingham today.
Oh,
I almost got him to show up to my house to be on the show. With James, but he's
afraid of dogs. He's afraid of dogs.
Yes. And chickens. He's like, how big is your dog exactly? No, but he got sidetracked into having lunch with his family. So he had to, you know, he had to bail.
Please, family first and all that nonsense. Okay.
Yep. Let's see. He still may show up though. We got time. Let's see. Tom. Here we go. Thomas Rademacher. I hope I'm saying his name right.
Rademacher.
Rademachers, Thomas Rademacher. They gave us $200 and there was no note, but he did say, I love you. Everything you and Adam are doing. The board meeting is always entertaining.
Thank you. Thank you, brother.
Since it's Rademacher, is that Dutch?
Yes.
Ah, thank you.
You would
Dutch
expect
coming it. In strong as usual.
Yeah, you would expect it.
And we got, thank you, Thomas. We got Daniel Hollingsworth, $50.
Thank you, one-off.
This is
nice.
He says, for a resume that gets results, I've created a podcast app called DigiLore. Thanks for the inspiration and your work on Podcast Index.
That is a crossover.
What do you mean?
Well, so something interesting started happening about 2 years ago on No Agenda. As you know, we solicit value for value. And if it's $200 or above, you become an associate executive producer. You get the credit. In fact, if you go to imdb.com, you can see over 1,000 people have opened up IMDb accounts as producers of the No Agenda show. And if it's $300 or above, then it's you're an executive producer. And in that case, we read your note. And so Linda Lupatkin showed up, and she has an executive resume service. And for 2 years, every single show, twice a week, she sends $200. And her tagline is, for a resume that gets results, go to Image Makers Inc. That's Image Makers Inc. with a K.com and talk to Linda Lou. And people are sending in jingles for her now. And it's become this whole, they're donating on her behalf. It's become this whole thing. And apparently it's worth it to her. So, yeah. And so now it's even crossed over here.
This is the best way to do advertising, is because Daniel sent in $50. He got advertising and nobody had to do any meetings.
No meetings. That's the secret. No meetings. Right. There's none of this. Well, I didn't like your read, you know, wasn't quite exciting enough.
Yeah. Can we jump on a Zoom call? Because we really want to make sure you highlight this aspect of the product.
Did you get the product? We want to make sure you try out our product.
Yes. We got some boostergrams. We've got Andrew Grummet. It says, grooving on a Friday afternoon.
2222.
Yep, 2222.
That's right.
We got 11111 from Chimp. He says, I heard it on Podcasting 2.0 with the Pod Sage and sometimes Adam. So Brian of London, 11948. He says, imagine the pitch from Netflix and Amazon. We can show your ad to our subscribers. Only the poor ones, though. Not the big spenders who pay not to see the ads from you.
That's such an excellent point. Very good point. Very good point. Only the poor ones. Nice.
See, coming in with hard truth, Brian. who we got here? Gene Bean, 2222. He says, check this out. Apple Podcasts is now available for Android and everything else. Oh, he's digging the knife in.
Yes, right. No, poking the bear, man.
Poking the bear, yes. Bill Prague. Through Fountain, he's 2,000 sats. He says, Prague, always the Hive guy. People who are using Hive have the same problem explaining this. As more people get deplatformed and definanced, more will understand. P.S. Not Brian. He boosts like a champ. I am cheap. Okay. So, yes. So that confusion is cleared up. Bill Prague is not Brian in disguise.
Good to know.
Do we got any? Is anybody please get the back? Okay, yeah, we've got that one. So this is the Delimiter. We got a comic strip blogger, 25,000 sats through Fountain. He says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Are you tired of the same old in your daily cartoon fix? Do your funny pages not tickle your funny bone anymore? Fear not, dear listener, for we've got the pan-galactic gargle blaster of cartoon entertainment. Just visit www.csb.lol !yo CSB.
Oh, he promoted himself this time.
He did.
Oh, that's cool.
Treat yourself.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, we got some monthlies. We got Charles Current, $5. Thank you, Charles. We got Satan's Lawyer from Down Under, $5. Jorge Hernandez, $5. Michael Goggin, $5. Cohen Glossbach, $5. Christopher Reamer, $10. James Sullivan, $10. And Jordan Dunville, $10. Thank you all for that group.
Thank you all so much. This is a value for value project. It goes beyond this podcast, although Dave and I are always happy to just catch up with each other. It's the only time we talk, really, during the week is on Fridays during the board meeting. Podcastindex.social is where you can, if you want to join, shoot me an email, adam@curry.com, dave@podcastindex.org. And of course, you can go to podcastindex.org. Down at the bottom, you see a big red donate button. You hit that, it takes you to the PayPal page. You can support us with your fiat fund coupons. We do like it, though, very much when you send us boostergrams through any of the modern podcast apps at podcastapps.com. And all of the money goes into the project, keeps it running, hopefully for a long, long, long time. Certainly with supporters like you, and you. And you. And I see you over there, too. You. Thank you.
I'm sure James appreciates the boosts in his chattel. or wherever you are, the Chatel.
Yes, Chatel. Indeed.
Yes,
I will take a photograph and I'll find out what they call it.
Yes, please do.
James, thank you so much for being with us today at the end of what I'm sure was a tiring trip, and you still have a good, 14 hours to fly? You have a direct flight or...
Oh, I've got more than that. I've got 5 hours to get to LAX and then another 14 hours. So, yeah. Also thank you to you two as well. You know, you do a fantastic job. Not enough people say that you both do a fantastic job, especially Dave, with all of the stuff that I get to see, some of the emails that you have to deal with. So so you both do a fantastic job.
Is he on the general email as well? I can't add my podcast or refresh it?
No, but I always get CC'd into some of these for some bizarre.
Sometimes they go through James. See, they gripe at James first, and then he has to pass it along.
Yeah. We spend quite a bit of time during our day answering emails and refreshing feeds, but it's a lot. It's actually fun. What I like the most is when people say, "Wow, thanks." They're really grateful. Like, oh, you fixed it. Thank you so much. Yes, I have the
power.
There was an actual
human being at the end of the season.
Yes,
wow.
Surprise, surprise. Yeah. James, as we like to do over at the No Agenda Show, I want to give you travel karma. So here you go.
You've got karma.
It's been known to help. It's been known to help.
Hope so.
Thank you, Boardroom, for being here in spirit and in verb as you've been chatting along with us. Very much appreciate it. Thank you, everybody. Brother Dave, have yourself a great weekend.
You too, guys. Both of you.
And, we'll see you all next week. James, safe travels.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. That's it. Podcasting 2.0. It's a wrap. We'll be back next Friday with another edition of the Podcasting 2.0 podcast. See you then.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting!
I can debug stuff.